The scriptures record seven statements of Jesus Christ as he hung on the cross. In fact, you could almost write a theology book from the statements he made because they include such subjects as the fall of man, heaven and hell, the eternality of the soul, grace and works, his deity and humanity, the kenosis, the impeccability of Christ, and prophecies from the Old Testament. Quite an array of subjects. We should, therefore, remember his last words, ponder them prayerfully, and hide them carefully in our hearts. I want to give you a little bit of information from the history of crucifixion in the first century. Most of us will live and die and never witness an execution firsthand. That was not the case in the New Testament days. Executions were done in public to remind the onlookers that crime doesn't pay. The Romans looked for a method to make an impression. Being humane to criminals seemed contradictory to them. Crucifixion, therefore, was one of the most painful methods of execution that they could come up with. It was so horrible that Roman law protected any Roman citizen who committed a capital crime from being crucified. He could be put to death, but not by crucifixion. And so, it is the day for the crucifixions. In our text today, there were going to be three crucifixions on that particular day. Of course, Jesus was one of them. There were a lot of terrible preparations for the crucifixion. As always, the cross was borne or carried to the place of execution by the person who was going to suffer on it. Many times they had to take cords and tie the cross to the person because they fought or resisted it. The procession to the place of crucifixion was headed by a centurion and a person who carried a placard proclaiming the nature of the crime. This grisly parade to the place of execution commonly took the longest road possible through the crowded streets so as to attract as much attention as possible. On this day, three crosses would be laid on the ground. Soldiers were there because they would have to fight with the people to get them on the cross and to keep them there. Criminals were thrown down on the ground, and there was all kinds of profanity, and it was just a despicable scene. After jerking the arms and legs of the person to be crucified out of joint to render him helpless, they would then bind him with ropes. Sometimes they would use nails, as in the case of Jesus, in the hands and feet to keep him on the cross. Remember, these people are fighting, resisting crucifixion. It was so painful, narcotics were available prepared and offered by the charitable hands of a compassionate group called the Daughters of Jerusalem. And they were allowed to offer the narcotics to the person being crucified. The criminals typically wouldn't submit. And so here is this eerie scene, fighting to get them on the cross, to keep them on the cross, and to put them up. Not so with our Lord. He voluntarily laid down on the cross and didn't resist, because he came here to voluntarily give his life to save our souls. With that introduction, would you turn to Luke 23? Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23, I would like to begin reading at verse 26. Now as they led him away, they laid hold of a certain man, Simon, a Cyrenian, who was coming from the country, and on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. And a great multitude of people followed him, and women who also mourned and lamented him. But Jesus turned to them and said, "Daughters of Jerusalem," that's that compassionate group with the narcotics, "don't weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children. For indeed the days are coming in which they will say, 'Blessed are the barren wombs that never bore, and breasts which never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things in the green wood, that is to an innocent person, what will be done in the dry? There were also two others, criminals, led with him to be put to death. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left." And so, do you remember what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount? He said, "You have heard that it hath been said, 'Love your neighbor, that you can hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to those who hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." And now, by his example, he embodies the truth that he had taught. He did not resist. The other two were probably cursing and fighting, but he simply went over, and when they laid the wood on the ground, he laid down on it, never resisted it. That's the last thing the soldiers would have expected him to do, because they were used to these people condemning them and fighting with them. And so he's put on the cross. I want you to notice what he says. Look, if you will. You're in Luke 23. Notice, if you will. It says in verse 34, then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Wow. He prayed to his Father. He is going to speak to his Father three different times from the cross. This is the first. He will later say, my God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And before he dies, he will say, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. He's talking to his Father in the midst of terrible suffering. Nothing would threaten his relationship to his Father. I have a question for you. In all your pain and your problems, whether it's family or friends or whatever your situation, and I hear enough as a pastor to know a lot of you go through a lot of stuff, and some of the people you love the most who are breaking your heart, you're still talking to your Father, aren't you? In the midst of Jesus being crucified, I will not go into this in this message, but Isaiah, when he describes the crucifixion that Jesus will go through, says that they had beat, before he was put on the cross, they had beaten him so badly, they had torn his flesh, ripped his beard, mangled his face, so that by the time he got to the cross, he hardly looked human. Sometimes we forget what the cross is all about and how terrible the pain was and the suffering to save us from our sins, from hell, to take us to heaven. But even in the midst of all of that, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. He prays to his Father, but he prays for their forgiveness. By the way, he said, Father, forgive them. Do you know what the word forgive means? You say, well, I think I do. Do you know what the word literally means? Forgive. Let me explain it. It means two things. Forgive means to send away. Father, send away. And it also means to let be. Let be. Do you know where that word forgive comes from? And probably the most vivid illustration of the word forgiveness in Scripture, in the Old Testament. One of the most powerful chapters in the Old Testament, and you can go home and study this, so I'll give you a little bit of homework out of this series. The Bible says in Leviticus 16, don't even turn there, just listen to me. The idea in that chapter has to do with taking the lamb or the animal, putting your hand on its head, but then they killed the animal. They shed its blood and put it on the altar. In other words, we should have been, or that person should have been, taken and killed for their sins, but the animal took the payment for us, the lamb. That's why Jesus is referred to, and you just sang about him being the Lamb of God. That's where it came from. But there were two goats, two animals. There was one that was offered as a sin offering. But most people forget there was another one that wasn't offered as a sin offering. Leviticus 16:21 says, put both of your hands on its head. Confess the sins of the people and send it away. And that animal would run out through the wilderness and disappear. Oh my. Forgive means what? To send away. There it is. There's the picture. The sins are paid for. The other animal runs away. That's called forgiveness. What a beautiful picture to prepare us for Jesus. This pictures our sins being paid for. That's the first lamb. But also being sent away. That's the second lamb. Jesus did all of that. He's the fulfillment. That's why Psalm 103 says, he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. When we got saved, that lamb that died on that cross paid for all of our sins, not just the past sins, past, present, future, all of them. And then the lamb was sent away. They're gone. Stop talking about, I was so horrible. I just hate it. It still bothers me. Stop. He sent it away. That's in your past. That's not you now. You're a new person in Christ. Oh my goodness. What could be more wonderful? You think I don't have sins that I hate that I have done? Are you kidding me? But I will just tell you, I stopped focusing on them because Jesus sent that lamb away. That's called forgiveness. So don't ever forget that word forgiveness means to send away. Oh, but there's more. It also means to let be. Father, he prayed to his father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Father, send away. But also, the word forgive, Father, forgive, also means to let be. Father, Jesus said, as he talked to his father, he spoke about the people around him who were crucifying him. And he said, let be. What does that mean? Father, let be. Don't judge them right now. Don't kill them right now. Don't make them pay for their sins right now. Jesus was not praying that all of their sins would be forgiven. They would individually have to pray that prayer just like you do and I do. What he was saying, rather, that the Father would not at that moment strike them dead. Don't, Father. I know they deserve it, but let be. They don't know what they're doing. Wow. You know what that's called? Extending mercy. Time. Those people around the cross were being given more time to repent of their sins and to receive Jesus, the payment he made, so that they would be forgiven, so their sins would be sent away. And that's what Jesus was praying. Father, just let be. Give them some more time. Aren't you glad that God gave you more time? And some of you sitting here, if you're not saved, you don't know for sure that you're going to go to heaven when you die. Well, you're a sinner and deserve to die and go to hell. But you know what? God has given you time. Don't waste it. Make the decision. Father, let be. Don't strike them dead now. Give them time. That is called mercy. And some things I don't apologize for repeating hundreds of times. You know what grace is. God gives to us what we don't deserve. But I told you, grace and mercy are bookends. In grace, he gives to us what we don't deserve. In mercy, he withholds from us what we do deserve. That's called mercy. Oh my goodness, listen to Titus. It is according to his mercy he saved us through the washing of regeneration. Oh. He gave us time. Some of you got saved when you were young. Others of you were given more time. But aren't you thankful for the mercy of God? And I'll give you this verse. You may know it, but listen to it again. Ephesians 2:4. But God, who is rich in mercy, giving people time, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, he quickened or made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. Ephesians 2:4 has mercy and grace in the same verse. There's the bookends. Father, send it away, yes, but Father, let be. For they do not know what they're doing. Some of those people, we will later be told, as you know, remember, were watching the cross and saw what happened and believed. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Our Father, thank you that we can speak with you and call you Father. Because we are your children. Because we have been born again. Because the Lord Jesus, your Son, paid for our sins. And thank you, Lord, for the compassion of Christ. Who, hanging on that horrible, despicable, disgusting cross, in terrible agony, could lift his voice to you and say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. We know what you were doing, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.